So, but I'm not just going to say, well, what you really need to do is sit down and, think through it. It's just more of a, we're having a conversation. It's like, I'm really freaking out here. So like, I get it. You're freaking out. What do you think would be the a better result? Really freak out or take a moment and just work through it?
Welcome back to View from Above with John Berger. John, happy April 4th, 2025. And if you are a stock market enthusiast, you are not having a very good day or week, are you?
It's feeling like April Fool's just kind of took a very big extension.
And a really dark turn for the worst.
Yeah.
This feels like the worst April Fool's joke ever. I think I was just told a little bit ago, it's the biggest two-day decline or the worst two-day decline since June of 2020, I think.
Yesterday was one of the biggest decline since single-day decline, and now we have 2 days that are both that, and I would not be surprised if it's even worse than 2020, although 2020 was, it was pretty sharp, right, what happened with COVID. COVID comes along, and then we get this massive market correction. But also a massive market response once the correction was over. So this is short-lived at the moment. We'll see where things go from an investment standpoint. But certainly what we're seeing in the stock market with large companies is something that affects really all businesses and business owners. And even people who aren't businesses or business owners at the moment, because it is going to it's going to start dictating how the economy works and how things work for you and your livelihood going forward for the next several months, if not longer.
Yeah, and it's an interesting conversation, really, because you've got two different things going on that may or may not be related, depending on the topic, right? What I mean by that is, like, the stock market is going to affect how much money you, or how big the number is on your 401k statement or your IRA statement or your brokerage statement. It's going to affect banks and traders and the investment world more directly than it's going to affect small business. But at the same time, the cause of the decline in the market can be a big thing, right? If it's an economic slowdown that is causing the stock market to go down, COVID being a good example of that. I mean, you had big, big fears about what was going to happen to the economy. Mm-hmm. But in some situations, stock market pullbacks are just a matter of, they were a little bit overpriced and the economy itself isn't necessarily changing that much. There's just maybe a little bit of a fear, or maybe we were overbought, whatever. But that can still affect consumer behavior. It can still affect, and I'm a very simple example of this. Most of my clients are financial advisors whose revenue is directly determined by how big the accounts are that they manage. Market goes down, their revenue goes down. Their revenue goes down, I'm probably one of the first people that they cut because I'm more of a luxury item. I'm not a have-to-have, right?
Yep.
So the economy going, the stock market going down is bad for me, whether it affects the economy or not, right? Where some other businesses are not going to be as heavily affected by a stock market decline, but they are going to be worried about economic decline.
Yep. And I would suspect that, I don't have a crystal ball and I don't really like prognostications, but what we are seeing is the beginnings of this, of a change to, especially earnings. We've had earnings expansion going on for years, not just in the big companies, but we've seen earnings expansions even smaller, smaller businesses here locally that I manage or work with. And it's been a wonderful tailwind. And now we're getting into a space where I don't think we're going to be seeing that for a while. Whether that really affects the economy significantly, as in recession, and I think the odds have definitely increased significantly that could be how that this plays out. Either way, there's been a pivot away from earnings tailwinds and just being able to make more profit to, you got to be thinking about what the bottom line looks like and how much earnings are going to be appropriate for you and how much your customers are going to tolerate price increases or are you getting nice fat margins? If they feel that you're fine and you're getting maybe a 15% margin on operations today, and you've been able to do that and maybe expand from 10 or 12% to 15, and they haven't minded that, okay, that's great for as long as it lasts. But eventually, the customer is going to kind of like be looking at it, and they don't know what your bottom line is, right? But they get a sense of what they're willing to pay for. And they may just go, well, you know, Garrett's not that that critical to our, to us, and so therefore he's going to become a business we're not going to support for a while, right? And it's that same economic thing. So that's really where I think business owners need to have their heads at the moment, especially with the tariffs being added on, is what's the future going to look like for you within a more of an earnings compression space than the constant tailwind of lots of free money floating around so we can have earnings expansion and nobody cares.
Yeah, and there's domino effects like crazy, right? Because you have to look at your own business and somewhat anticipate, you know, hey, look, if this part of the economy suffers, then that's going to affect this customer, and this customer is probably not going to be able to spend as much money with me, or maybe not spend any money with me at all. And then how do I plan for my own business? Well, then when I have my own business to make those decisions about, now I have to look at what am I going to cut, right? And how can I button up the hatches a little bit? And that may be a reduction in workforce. It may be cutting some of those luxury vendors that you would like to use their products or services, but you may not necessarily have that luxury at the moment. And then if we're not that this necessarily matters so much to the business owner themselves, but when you make the decision to reduce your workforce or to, you know, reduce your expenses by cutting some other costs, that's going to affect those businesses and what they're going to do. So it begins to compound and trickle downstream quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why there are ebbs and flows. There are economic cycles, right? Is that we go to excesses for a while, and those excesses just kind of hang out there, and they just remain excessive. And then there is a pivot. You know, even when you talk about COVID, it wasn't that the economy was tanking, although the economy was being hammered for a while with the shutdowns. It was the fear that this was going to continue, or that we were all going to die an ugly death from some disease that we didn't know, right? It's always the, goes back to human animal spirits, right? The, what do we think might happen? And then we start making decisions based on that. And those decisions do have compound effects, because if I cut something here, that means I'm cutting this business that I'm supporting. That means they have to do something. And we're all trying to figure out what's the next 3 months look like and what's the next year going to look like. And then some people are more, shall we say, reactive to that. And so then we're going to get the pendulum to swing even faster in the other direction. That's why market corrections always go, the market always goes down faster than it goes up. You know, we've wiped out probably 4 months worth of gains in a matter of 2 days.
Yeah, markets go up slow and down fast, and that is not, when you really peel the layer, it doesn't take very many layers of the onion to figure out why that is, right? Fear is such a powerful emotion.
It's a huge.
And that is what fuels the market going down. We were just talking on the Intelligent Investment Show that people tend to just completely disregard math once the blood's in the water, right? Where they had the time to do the math on the way up when the market was up 0.5% a day. When it's down 5% a day, it becomes sell first, then we'll figure out if I should have sold or not. But let's get out now. Who has time for math at a time like this? Yeah. You know, and that is probably more of a relevant point in the stock market, but it still applies also even in running your businesses to, I think, take the time and digest this information rather than being purely reactionary and just, or maybe impulsive is the word I'm looking for there. Yeah. That you don't want to be impulsive. You need to make sure that you're taking the time, even though it feels like everything's happening really fast around you, take the time to make sure you're following a sound decision-making process.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that, going back to the work that I do as a business coach, And not just a fractional chief financial officer, but truly a business coach. As I try to get the business owners that I work with to constantly, you know, get themselves out of their business operations enough that they have time to think more long term and work through stuff. And one of the reasons why we do that is because the best decisions, the most optimal ones, are the ones that are strategic, the ones that have been thought through and maybe even thought through in the heat of a moment. It's just knowing, hey, this is how I'm going to respond should something like this happen. Look, Tariff Liberation Day or whatever they called it, we've known this is coming and we've known it was coming for a month. So the fact that the stock market was surprised by the severity of it, okay, yeah, that just means that it isn't perfect in anticipating everything. The market was up for 3 days straight prior to the announcement of those tariffs. And now all of a sudden, oh, it's the end of the world and we're going to whack the market by 10%. But we've known those tariffs are coming. And you as a business owner have known that this is a potential. And ideally, the conversation should have been, if that happens, or if there is any type of tariff, you know, what are the boundaries? When do we respond if it's only 5%? And, you know, well, maybe we'll just eat that. What would be a rational, reasonable space to start thinking, I'm going to have to do something different with my fee structure or my charging structure, or if it gets to be 10 or 20%, depending on the business. You know, I have some businesses here that I work with that are going, this is great because everything we buy is already bought domestic. Yeah, and we may have some stuff that's going to filter bubble up underneath that we're going to see some price increases. But, you know, we've already been absorbing those and we've been planning for those and we're ready to go. And then some businesses are like everything they order is coming from China and it's going to be, well, a lot more expensive. So they've got a different question to answer. But either way, you knew they were coming. So the best thought process would have been, before it got here, what am I going to do if this happens or if that happens? That's strategic planning, which is, as anybody who's watched this program very long knows, that's a huge thing. And that I'm probably more important to me than anything is, are you thinking strategically about your business or are you thinking basically reactionary or impulsively about how to respond? And you cannot be strategic if you are so deep in the weeds and so busy that when you have something like this come along, you don't have time to peel yourself away, sit down, be calm, and work through the issue and respond accordingly.
When I was younger, I played a lot of competitive golf in high school and a little bit in college also. And someone that I was, a coach or someone that I was working with, gave me some advice one time that made a ton of sense when they told me. And it was basically, when you are going to play in a tournament, write out your game plan the night before. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to hit on this hole. This is, and give yourself some flexibility, right? Because yes, you might play the hole a little bit differently based on what the wind is doing, or you might play it a little bit differently based on how your round is going. If you've got a nice big lead, you might be a little bit more conservative. If you're, you know, needing to be aggressive, it might be different. But kind of have yourself designed out or kind of built out, I guess, a scenario, a strategy of scenarios, right? Or different scenarios of what your strategy would be. And the reason for doing it the night before was so that, you know, you're calm, you're not nervous, you're not in the heat of the moment, and that way you'll make more sound decisions when you're in the tournament. Now, here's the thing. It's great to say to do that. It's great advice, and you should do it. That doesn't do me a whole lot of good right this very moment. That's like telling me on the eighth tee when I'm already nervous and I'm already in the heat of battle, you need to have a strategy written last night. But the advice that can be timely right now is, I can't tell you how many times I wrote the notes, had the notes, I had the strategy, and then the heat of the moment came and I did not stick to it.
Them up and threw them out like that, or just ignored them. They stayed in the back pocket where they were tucked away. Yeah, no, I get that.
Or the second hole, I'd have a bad hole in the second hole and I would just throw the whole thing away, right? I don't need these notes anymore. It doesn't matter anymore, right?
Yeah.
And these notes are so easy.
Right?
Yeah, it's so easy to abandon the strategy once you get punched in the mouth, you know, and but that was the reason for having it in the first place, which is what's so ironic about abandoning it.
No, this is part of the learning process. I think that we all go through as business owners, entrepreneurs, whatever is to whether you're doing a sport or you're running a business. Essentially, you're running off of habits. You're building habits. You're training, right? You're learning from experiences. I'd tell you, the first year or two I had that retail business that I started or I bought in 1993. I mean, it was just drink through the fire hose. And it's like, and at least I paid attention. I took notes. I'd say that right now, the one thing you can do, even though you feel like you've been punched in the teeth, is just give yourself a check. Just say, wait, don't react. I need to carve out time. And whatever you do, find something that you can delegate to somebody else that's like seems like it's urgent. Make sure there aren't any fires raging in the kitchen. But if everything's cooking and it seems really hot, but you have a moment, get out and get away from it long enough to at least pull those notes, to go back to your analogy, pull those notes out of your back pocket. Don't rip them up and throw them away and start thinking about, all right, well, this sucks. This was not what I was anticipating, but I must have something there. And I think anybody who's been in business for more than a couple of years has that, we call it framework. So it has the decision framework built, the strategic framework that's in place. How good you are at working within the framework, that's the practice part, and that's kind of a lot of that. I think what coaches and consultants can help you. Well, let's go back to the framework. Let's look at that and see what it says. And that's the benefit of having that third guide. But we've all, even if you've never used a coach, if you never used a consultant, you've just always done it yourself. If you've been in business more than a couple of years, you have some form of a decision framework that is built out. You just got to get yourself to a place where you can start referencing it and be as optimal as you can in the moment with what, you know, with the new data that you got. And there is new data. I mean, I knew the tariffs were coming, but I think that nobody knew the extent to which they were going to be pushed out there. And I don't think that very many people really expected the response that we got. I don't know why, but I just, you know, well, China's not going to retaliate. Well, guess what? They did. Canada's not going to retaliate. Oh, wait a minute. They just did. Okay, so, you know, new data. What do we do now?
Well, and I think it's also important to, when you're, whatever you do, and everybody has different processes for this, whether it's, you know, just some people may do something, you know, meditation, going on walks, talking to a friend, doing what, but wherever you go to make your best decisions, when things are crazy and the world's falling apart around you and everybody's scared to death and all these things, it can be really easy to feel so rushed that you don't think you have time to, mm-hmm. to take a break, so to speak. And I definitely understand, you know, math is math, and it doesn't really matter. Sometimes things have to get done, and it might be 60, 70, 80-hour work weeks when things are a little bit chaotic, yeah. or whatever. But sometimes it's amazing how much taking an hour or 2 hours that you didn't think you could spare
right.
can save you in the long run. Absolutely. Right? There have been so many times that I would take a 30-minute walk and come up with something on that walk that saved me 5 hours later. Well, what a great investment of a half an hour that turned out to be. You know what I mean? And yeah. same thing with your decision-making process with the business. And to your point, I think it's very important to have somebody besides yourself to bounce these ideas off of, whether it's a spouse, a business coach, people within your organization are great to talk to as well. But no matter whatever the case may be, relying on a different perspective or leaning on it up a different perspective, at least hearing a different perspective mm-hmm. can be incredibly valuable, especially when your own emotions are very heightened.
Yep. So let's briefly touch on just the reality of human beings and decision-making and all that. Remember that all of our decisions are heavily influenced by the chemicals that are running through our brain in that moment. Stress tends to create a certain chemical mix, which, by the way, is absolutely horrible for optimal decision making. And one of the reasons why going for a walk, or just, as I said, get out of the business and just go someplace else, go to a restaurant, have lunch, do, I don't know, just get away from it all, is to allow that chemistry that is natural. It's going to happen. Good chemistry and bad chemistry, get all that stuff a chance to run through the system and clear, so that when you go back and or start approaching it, you can do it in a way that is less full of anxiety, less full of all that negative stuff, and you can be making better decisions. Are they going to be perfectly optimal? Well, unless you're really good at the doing the quant thing, probably not, because you're in a bit more of a firestorm. But still, get away, find that sounding board, find that person to talk you off the ledge, and just who can get you in that space where you can give yourself a bit of a pass and make some decisions from a better place in a more optimal framework.
Yeah, I think a way that I could describe that is I'm one of these people that tends to keep my gas tank closer to empty than full. I know other people that, like my best friend tells me all the time, you do realize it takes the same amount of energy to keep it on full as it does to keep it on empty, right? And it's a good point. But I'm always notorious for that. Well, I'm also pretty bad about running late. And when you are running 10 minutes late, or say 5 minutes late even, and you've only got 20 miles worth of gas in the car and you've got a 30-minute drive, you may not feel like you have time to stop and get gas, but you really don't have a choice. It's either be an extra 2 minutes late or just not make it at all. And I think sometimes that analogy can kind of apply to us in business. We might feel like we don't have the time to spare to invest in whatever it is that's going to help us make better decisions.
Exactly.
But if you don't, it's catastrophic, and you really don't have the luxury of not taking that. And it sounds, you can feel like you're being lazy in that moment, right? Like you can feel like, how, you know, I don't have time to take that. I don't have time to take my time. But you really can cause a lot more damage being hasty than you can to just invest that little bit of time to make sure your thought process is, like I said, is sound.
I think that's a wonderful analogy to it. If you, especially if you're not a sports type person. But again, I would rely a lot on, if you have experience and you've been in business for a few years, you have a whole bunch of anecdotes that are sitting in the back of your brain that will tell you subtly that the best thing for you to do right now is to take that moment and don't paint yourself into a corner that you can't get out of.
Yeah. With your experience working with business owners, how often, I mean, this is an obvious case right now where there's a lot going on, a lot of decisions to be made, and probably a lot of opportunity for you to be that sounding board. But I guess maybe the question that I'm getting at with it is, how often do the business owners realize that on their own versus you needing to kind of speak up and offer your opinions when they might not have asked for them?
Yeah, so... But my style in dealing with what I would call triage moments like we have, and we don't have them very often, right? So they tend to come in clusters, but many, many years apart. So I haven't really had we had some opportunities with clients in COVID to help them work their way through that. Prior to that, really didn't have a lot of opportunities to really deal with how are you going to manage, you know, higher stress moments, all those contingency plans we spent years working on or building those frameworks. You know, they didn't get a chance to rely on the framework quite so much. And until prior to that, you know, prior to COVID, it was basically 2007, 2008, and 2009, which was just a total mess from everything because housing was going down. I mean, just, and so many of the businesses that I was working with were touched just by the housing maelstrom, the fact that, you know, there was just so many excesses that had to be cleared out of the system. It was an amazing time. I did have some clients that were in the space where they hadn't really, we hadn't really built the framework, and they came on and they were freaking out. But my style of approach is just to try to stay as calm as I can internally, even though, understand, in my brain right now, there is so much stuff that's going on right now. It's just like, well, this is happening, that's happening. I do investment management, so I have that going on in the back of my head. I have some clients that are right now in the crosshairs of this whole storm with tariffs, and they're really having to figure out their way through very tough decisions. And what I try to do is just, all right, I'm going to stay calm and just try to keep you, help you stay calm and just be that sounding board. So, but I'm not just going to say, well, what you really need to do is sit down and, think through it. It's just more of a, we're having a conversation. It's like, I'm really freaking out here. So like, I get it. You're freaking out. What do you think would be the a better result? Really freak out or take a moment and just work through it? And I'll usually do it through questions like that. And they'll go, well, I know a freaking out's not doing me any good. So will you help me with that? Yeah, let's just sit down and let's walk through it. You have an hour. Can we carve out an hour right now? And we'll walk through the questions that come to my mind right now that I think you may want to be answering for yourself. And that's really what the work that I do.
Another area that I was thinking about, we don't really have time to dig super deep into it, and it might be a little bit off of the original topic, but one of the other things that a business owner is going to have, if they do have a 401k plan or a workplace retirement plan, you're also going to have employees that are suffering declines in their 401k balance. And sometimes that can fall to the business. Those questions can go to the business owner. How do I get out of my 401k? How can I get to the safe option in my 401k? Sometimes it may go to the investment policy committee. Sometimes the employees may just talk to each other and, you know, I don't know very much about investing, so I'm going to talk to my coworker who does do some trading on their own or wherever.
Yeah.
But how often as an advisor who manages 401k plans and is the professional on a lot of plans, do you see an uptick in calls from plan participants during these times, or do plan participants often kind of not realize that the advisor is there for them? Because I'm thinking for employees, now is a great time to take advantage of that service that's provided by the advisor on your plan and ask them the questions. And if I'm owning a business and I don't want those questions, I've got enough on my plate right now, I'm going to be directing those to the advisor. So in theory, you should be getting a ton of calls from participants, but how often do they actually take advantage of that?
Yeah. So, and how often have we had an opportunity where those concerns would be getting, generating those concerns within them, right? So they've seen a couple of bad days on the news. In general, some of them don't even check their 401k balance until, you know, the quarterly statement comes out. And then they go, oh, crap, right? So a lot of them are not going to be reactive or responsive. In COVID, we did get an increase in calls. Is it relevant to the number of people? I'd say only probably 20-25% participants are going to even think, gosh, I need to talk to somebody about that that's a professional. So I think that they don't even know that we're here. That's part of what we're here for, is, hey, you have any questions? And some of them just think, well, he's going to say the same old thing, which is, you know, you got to hold the line. The stock market does what it does. And you know, in the end, you should be all right, because history has proven that. And that gets into another whole conversation about is that doing the right thing for people when they're thinking they're going to need those retirement funds in 2 to 3 years. And here they were in this, you know, 80% risky asset portfolio or maybe a target 2050 fund, even though they're 65 and they're thinking of retiring in 2 years, right? How appropriate was that? Well, they were chasing gains and or maybe the advisor even said, well, you know, do whatever you want, because market's been doing great for the last 17 years. So why not, right? I don't know. So there are so many variables built into all of that, and it depends on how good the advisor is and helping the participants understand what investing is and how investing really should work. I will say it when 2006-2008, when we had the Great Recession, and that was the perfect model of 401ks being sliced in half to 201ks, right? And there were, and it was took place over a long enough period of time that enough participants really had a chance to see it in their quarterly statements, not once, but twice or three times, right? So that was a very different space. And I was still really surprised by the number of participants that did not reach out looking for advice. There were a number of participants that just, you know, got mad or made a decision after the second bad quarterly statement, and they took themselves out of every risky asset they had, and they put it in cash, and they missed bounces that happened after that. They made decisions without working through it or talking to an advisor. I would say there's an uptick. I just should say doesn't correlate real well with the number of participants in the plan or anything else. And I would encourage, if you are a plan sponsor and you're getting hit up by your staff and you have an advisor that you're paying, defer those to the advisor. That's their job. That's what they're being paid for.
Yeah. And whether you're a business owner or a 401k participant, I mean, I know, John, you're always open for a conversation to just be a sounding board, and yeah. I know you'd love to, or would be happy to chat with anyone out there who does have questions. Whether it's what types of strategic decisions should I be making right now for my business, or looking at the 401k, it's great that resources like you are out there. Oftentimes, resources like you are underutilized, especially at the times we need them most. I definitely encourage watchers, listeners, ever how you are enjoying this podcast, feel free to reach out to John. You can find his information at altuswealth.com. There'll be a link in the description below on whatever device you are watching us on or listening to us on right now. But John, really appreciate you taking the time out. I know it's a busy time for the advisor community, so thank you for taking the time out to still do the show with me today. I know that I used to joke around a lot of times that being a financial advisor is kind of like a CPA. You do like 70% of your work and 20% of your time. But the difference in advisors and CPAs is they know when their busy season is going to be. Financial advisors don't ever know when it's coming.
Wake up one morning and all of a sudden the phones are ringing and or you're getting emails from clients who are having various issues, or people are coming out of the woodwork, usually after, you know, the damage has been done, saying, I'm wondering if I should be doing this or should be doing that. But either way, I don't think it's ever too late to go in that direction, to find that sounding board. But yeah, it's been a pretty busy month and a half, and I got a funny feeling it's going to be an even busier probably through the rest of this year. It's going to be one where I'll earn every dollar I make.
Well, I definitely agree, and it's something that Trump is a volatile figure for sure, whether you like him or not. And I think everybody agrees in his volatility, at least. And he stirred the pot a lot, and that's going to leave. It's going to have a lot of volatility and a lot of ups and downs and things that come with it. And I don't think it really surprises anybody. It's the best you can do is, like you said, have plans kind of going into it of what you're going to do if this happens, what you're going to do if that happens, and make sure they're sound. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you as always, my friend. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. And we'll see you here in a couple of weeks. Hopefully things are a little bit better then. We'll see.